Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Acts, chapter 13. Acts, chapter 13. We'll read verses 33 through 36 together. And we'll read this passage responsively. Then we'll turn to yet one other verse when we are finished here. Acts, chapter 13, verses 33 through 36. God hath fulfilled this same unto us, their children, in that he raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second psalm, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore, he said also in another psalm, Thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. Turn now to Romans chapter 12, verse number 2. Romans chapter 12, verse number 2. We'll read this verse in unison together. Romans chapter 12, verse number 2. Ready? And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this church in this place. Oh, this morning it was a little bit ugly with the weather, but sure is wonderful to be here. As we pulled on the property, we sensed your presence. We knew that you'd meet with us. We knew that we had a preacher that have walked with you all week long, has a message from heaven for us. And Father, we're a needy people. We're a sinful people. May we receive from heaven today what you have for us, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
This morning, I'm going to actually continue a lesson that I taught on Wednesday night. We've been studying the doctrines of the Bible, and I, last Wednesday night, taught a lesson called the Doctrine of the Will of God. I can't remember when was the last time I had so many comments about one of our Wednesday night lessons. A lot of people said, Brother Owens, I needed that. That was so helpful. I want to understand the will of God. And so I have what we're going to call the Doctrine of the Will of God, Part 2. Now, there's more than one bit of reasoning that goes into this. First of all, I knew that on a snowy Sunday morning, the Wednesday night crowd would show up. And so I knew you would be here, and I look around, I see primarily people that are here every single Wednesday night. And I thought maybe we could continue today, and I could help you a little more with it. I want to talk to you about the will of God again. And I think our ultimate goal ought to be in the will of God. Couple of verses here. Acts chapter 13, verse number 36, the Bible says, For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on asleep. Now, that's not like you're going to fall on asleep here in a second. That's talking about he passed on and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. Then, Romans chapter 12, verse number 2, it says, And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let me explain something to you here. If you want to be in the will of God, it talks about having the renewing of your mind. In other words, you're going to need to learn to think God's way if you're going to find yourself in God's will. Then, a scripture that I shared on Wednesday night was found in Matthew chapter 6, verse number 10. It says, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Folks, we're to be living down here in the will of God, just like when we get to heaven, we'll be in the will of God. When we get to heaven, there'll be no debating what God wants. There'll be no rejecting what God wants. Whatever God wants, that's what he's going to get. You're not going to be able to push it away there. Right now, down here, person's born again, they're saved, they can shun the will of God, they can push the will of God to the side and do their own will, but when we get to heaven, none of that's going to be going on. God said, you ought to be living down here the way you'll be living up there. And if you're not living down here the way that you'll live up there, you're not right with God. You're not right with the will of God. You're not where God wants you. As we spoke about the will of God on Wednesday night, I gave many, many points, none of which I'll go into right now, but I want to talk to you about the subject of the doctrine of the will of God for a little while. But I think it would help you, first of all, if I told you what the will of God is not. What the will of God is not. For instance, the will of God is not your will. It's not your will. When I was growing up, I don't know why, I always seem to enjoy the challenge of doing that which is hard. And I had developed in my heart and in my mind what a will for me. I'll tell you, and I'm almost embarrassed to say it because I was a little more interested in doing what I wanted to do than what the Lord wanted me to do. But I wanted to be a Navy SEAL. I really did. I wanted to be a Navy SEAL. Someone said that's hard, and I studied the SEALs and I watched it and I said, yep, that's what I want to do. I want to be a Navy SEAL. You know, you get that, you growing up, I had that hero syndrome, and I want to go off and be a hero and do what was tough, and I had it in my brain that I was going to be a Navy SEAL, but there was only one problem with that. Being a Navy SEAL was Jeff Owens' will for Jeff Owens' life. But that was not God's will for Jeff Owens' life. You say, would it be bad to be a Navy SEAL? Now, most folks in the military are not real interested in serving God. It used to be a place where there was a whole lot more integrity and a whole lot more character. It's not like that so much anymore. But you say, would it have been bad? I don't know that it would have been bad. But the thing is, I'm not to be in my will for my life. I am to be in God's will for my life. Now, lest we mistakenly get a misconception about this sermon, I'm talking to you about the will of God for your life. Though I am testifying a little bit about the will of God and how it's occurred in my life, I don't want you to think, well, we're talking about the preacher now. It is as important that every person in this building be in the will of God as it is that this preacher be in the will of God. I'm to be in the will of God not because I'm a preacher. I'm to be in the will of God because I'm a human being created by the God of the universe, and He has a will for my life, but He has a will for Brother Ewan's life, and Brother Owens's life, and Brother Jones's life, and Brother Smith's life, and Brother Kelvington's wife life, Brother Nash's life, and Brother Young's life, and Brother Bush's life. God has a will for your life. If you're a child, God has a will for your life. If you're a teenager, God has a will for your life. If you're 75 years old, you're not done with the will of God for your life. As long as you're still alive, there's a will of God for your life. But what is the will of God? I can tell you what it is not. It is not your will. And I mentioned this on Wednesday night. I do not have time to develop it. Before you're really going to find the will of God for your life, you're going to need to lose your will. If you have a will and you say, but my will for my life is good. Your will for your life can be good, but it's still bad because it's not the will of God. Okay, I've got some good things that I want to do with my life. I'm glad of that, but you should not do good things that replace the good thing that God wants you to do with your life. You're to be in the will of God. The biggest mistake Christians make is they think as long as they're not doing bad with their life, that they're in the will of God for their life. No, there's more to it than that. You're not just to separate from the bad, you're to separate unto the good. And so you're not just not to do the devil's bad will for your life, you're to do the Lord's good will for your life. And look, it's not an issue. It's not an issue whether you're doing good or bad. It's an issue of, are you doing what God wants you to do? Are you doing what God wants you to do? So, my will for my life for a while was I wanted to be a Navy SEAL. The only problem was that was not God's will for my life. Parents, let me explain something to you. While your children are living in your home, you are determining the will of God for their life while they're living in your home. Now, that's a big responsibility. Moms and dads, you better be careful what you do with your life. because your children are to be in submission to you while they live in your home. That means a dad can drag his kids right out of the will of God. A mama can drag her children right out of the will of God. They can take them right out of the will of God because those children submit to you while they're in your home. And so that's a big responsibility. But you know, once you grow up and you become an adult, then you have, God has a will for your life. And I'm not minimizing the fact that children, while you live, or teenagers, while you live in mom and dad's home, there is a will of God for you within that home. It's there. You're to obey God. There are things you're supposed to do. I'm just warning moms and dads to be careful. Geographically, you can pull your kids right out of the will of God by you stepping out of the will of God. That's a real big responsibility. Better make sure you're careful about every move that you make. But once you grow up and you're a mature adult, you have to understand something. Not only is the will of God not my will, it's also really not my parents' will. You take, for instance, I know men, I have some preacher friends. When they were growing up, they ran a family business with their dad. But in their teenage years, God called them to preach. And I know some young men who, when they graduated from high school, their dad said, I want you to come and I want you to run the family business. And I know some young men that had to say to their daddies, Dad, listen, God's called me to preach. I cannot go into business with you because God's called me to preach and I've got to do the will of God for my life. The will of God, for instance, let me describe that a little more. It's not for a grown, mature adult. The will of God is not your dad's will for you. It's not your mom's will for you. Within your home, when children and teenagers are still living at home, the simple truth is mom and dad are pretty well going to decide the will of God for you. But when you grow up, there's a difference. You take, for instance, my dad is a pastor. My dad is the pastor of the Trinity Baptist Church of Elizabethtown, Kentucky. To be real honest with you, my dad wanted me to work with him at his church. Man, what a good dream. What a neat dream. That's what my dad wanted me to do. Now, my dad would not want me to go against the will of God for my life, but he and I used to talk about it, and he used to say, son, I'll tell you something. I think it'd be great if we could work together, and my brother Patrick works with my dad at his church, and we used to talk about it. The only thing is, when it was time for me to make a decision about the will of God in my life, God's will did not seem to be that I would work for my dad. And so, listen, if it had been the will of God for me to work for my dad, I would have. But my dad's will, and again, I don't think my father would have wanted me to go against the will of God. He's backed me as I made those decisions. But a little bit in his heart, he had a will that I work for him. Now, if I would have done that, I would not be the pastor here today. I would have not worked for Dr. Jack Hiles for all those many years. So my dad's will was not the will of God for my life. My will was not the will of God for my life. And let me again qualify that. You young people that live at home with your mom and dad, you're to obey them and you're to do what they tell you to do. And you parents better be careful how you guide the will of God for your child's life. Thirdly, what is the will of God not? Well, the will of God is not your friend's will. I had two buddies, one named Steve Engle. We used to call him Dingle. And Chris D-Boy, we called him the missing link. The kid was so hairy in sixth grade, it was amazing. He did too many hormones in his food or something like that, but this guy was hairy. And Steve and Chris and I, we spent a bunch of time together growing up, and we'd ride our bikes together, and we had a real good time. We got into 11th grade, and somehow we got this harebrained idea that we were all going to join the Army together. We just decided, we talked about it and we funned about it and we got to talking and the recruiter talked to me, and we were then, not long after that, we went into our senior year. Everybody be turning 18 before long, and Steve, he talked to a recruiter, and Chris, he talked to a recruiter, and we all said, all right, let's do it. So Chris signed up, and my goal was, they had told me that if I could get two buddies to come in on a buddy system, that I could go in as a private E2, and I said, hey, sounds like a deal. I said, Chris, you're going to join? He said, I'm going to do it. And I said, Steve, you're going to join? He said, I'm going to do it. Steve went to the recruiter, and he joined. Chris went to the recruiter, he joined, and I didn't. Because my father had said to me, my dad said, "Now, son, let me tell you something. You can do more for your country by becoming a preacher of the gospel than what you'll do by joining the military." And for the longest time, that did not make sense to me, but I listened to my dad, and I'm glad that I did. But listen, what I'm trying to tell you is this. The will of God is not your friend's will. We can do what our friends want us to do, but friends are not to lead us in our lives, but God is to lead us. And the will of God for your life is not your boss's will. You have a secular boss. He does not determine the will of God for your life. I worked at a company in Indiana, worked there for many years, made the company a lot of money, became very, very influential with all the employees. I was graduating from Bible college, and the owner of that company, he came to me, and he said to me, he came to my graduation service. He gave me in my senior year of college, he gave me a car as a gift. He came to me, and he came to my graduation. When I walked across the platform, got my diploma, there were all these people out there in the audience, probably about 6,000 people at the graduation service. When the children would walk across the platform, you'd hear moms yell, "That's my son!" And you'd hear brothers say, "That's my sister!" And they were all yelling these things. When I walked across the platform, my employer stood up and he said, "That guy works for me!" After graduation, he came to me. He said, "Jeff, I want to make you a deal." He said, "You don't know what you mean to this company." He said, "I think you'll have a lot to do with the future success of this company." He said, "Here's what I want to do. I want you to come to this town, and I want you to start a church here, and I will financially support you if you'll start a church here, and you can continue to work for my company. I'd like for you to become the personnel director. I want to give you a nice office. I'm going to take good care of you." He said, "You come here and you start a church." And I said, "I am going to do the will of God." Because my boss's will does not necessarily mean it's God's will. My will does not make it God's will. As a grown adult, my parents' will did not make it God's will. My friend's will is not God's will. I went to a public school. I did not have the privilege of going to a public, a private school or a Christian school. I'm from Indiana. When you're from Indiana, you're born with a pacifier in your mouth and a basketball in your hand. And Indiana's a basketball state. I started playing basketball at a very young age, and through high school, I seemed to do very well at athletics and playing basketball. I remember my senior year, a fellow sat down with me from a college, and he said, "We're going to give you a scholarship to play basketball for our college. What do you think about that? We're going to pay for your education. You just play basketball for us." There's only one problem with that. God had called me to preach. Now, That does not mean this is all about a preacher this morning. I've already told you that. But there was one problem with that. The problem was that college that I was being invited to would not train me to do the will of God for my life. So I sat there, and it was a very easy decision. I went to a guidance counselor. I had a public school guidance counselor. And this was a lost person. They said, "You realize that Earlham College is offering you a scholarship? They're going to pay for your education." And I said, "I realize that, but that's not God's will for my life." "But you're going to get a free ride." Listen, folks, free ride at college does not determine God's will for your life. How does a basketball determine God's will for somebody's life? So God's will for me was not my school's will. It was not my boss's will. It was not my friend's will. It was not my parents' will. It was not my will. And God's will is not a boyfriend's will or a girlfriend's will. I can't tell you how many young people wanted to be in the will of God. They got them a boyfriend or a girlfriend, and that boyfriend or girlfriend pulled them out of God's will. I could tell you story after story after story of young ladies that wanted to do something good with their life, and they never got it done because they married a bum of a guy. Or they got a boyfriend that pulled them away from the will of God. God's will is not a boyfriend's will. God's will is not a girlfriend's will. God's will is not determined by money. I work for a man by the name of Sherman W. Armstrong. Sherman was the only producer of March race cars at that time in the United States of America. Now, I'm from Indiana. I lived about an hour and a half from the Indianapolis 500 racetrack. I've been there over and over and over again. I work for a company. I made prototype parts for March race cars. And we had for Mr. Armstrong, we had a couple of drivers that drove for us. A guy by the name Bigelow, the very first, Janet Guthrie, the very first lady driver in the Indy 500 drove for us and Mr. Armstrong's corporation. I could get pit crew passes, and he was a very, very wealthy man, owned his own island and private planes and private helicopters and three or four companies. He said to me when I was getting ready to go off to Bible college, I was working for him for a few years before I went off to Bible college. Sherman Armstrong said to me, "I'll pay you whatever you want if you just stay with me. I'd like to groom you to help take over my company." He said, "I believe you can do it. You're a young man. You've got a mind for business. You're good with people." He said, "And I'm going to pay you a lot of money. What do you think?" And I said, "That's not God's will. God's will is not decided by money. God's will is not decided by my friends. God's will is not decided by my school. God's will is not decided by my boss. God's will is not decided by me. God's will is God's will. God's will." You're going to find this. Hey, God's will is not always convenient. So it just means so much more to me to live close to my Uncle Joe. Listen, God's will is not decided by the convenience of living by Uncle Joe. That's not how you decide God's will. That's not what God's will is. God's will is God's will. Now, you're going to find that the will of God, 99 times out of 100, the will of God is determined by the Word of God. I said this on Wednesday night. I'm saying it again. 99 times out of 100, the will of God is determined by the Word of God. Not by circumstances. Not by signs. You say, "Oh God, send me a sign." Did you know the devil was listening to your request too?
Yes, sir.
One good thing about the Word of God, it never changes. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you can go to the bank on this thing. Most of God's will is based on what you're supposed to do, not where you're supposed to be. But the Word of God is the primary guiding tool for the will of God for in your life. Now, I want to say some things very quickly about this thought of the doctrine of the will of God. I told you what the will of God is not. But there are some things that will always be the will of God. You take, for instance, you ought to always be in a red-hot, soul-winning, old-fashioned church. Always. 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 That's always the will of God for your life. Always. It's always the will of God for your life that you go to a church that has established the Bible as the final authority. I'm talking about the King James Bible as the final authority of your life. That is the will of God for your life. No doubt about that. We've had very few people that have left our church in the last 3.5 years, but I had one family that left our church, and they said, "It's the will of God." They went to the church that didn't believe the Bible. They went to a church that didn't have a soul-winning program. They went to a church that didn't have any standards or convictions. They did not leave this place in the will of God. You don't leave a red-hot, old-fashioned church and go to some old, dead, dry denominational church in the will of God. That is not how God leads. God does not lead us backwards in regard to the churches that we attend. You see, there's some things that the will of God always includes. You've got to be in the right kind of a church. The will of God will always be being in the right kind of church. Where's Brother Matt Zemacki? I seen Brother Matt here earlier. Brother Matt's wife gave a testimony yesterday in our couples retreat. She stood and she said, "My husband was looking for a job when it was time for him to launch his career." She said, "I am so pleased that he almost didn't come to this area because he wasn't sure there was the right kind of a church in this area, and he knew he had to have his family in the right kind of a church." She said, "And then when we found the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, we knew it was the kind of church that we could raise our family in, where we be taught the Word of God. So then we made the move." You'd be shocked how many people don't have the good sense that man has. There are some things that will of God is always going to include. Listen, if you can't be a soul winner and tell others about Jesus Christ wherever you're going or whatever you're about to do, it can't be the will of God. It's always the will of God that we testify for Jesus Christ. Separation from the world is an issue. It's always the will of God you be in a church that is teaching separation from the world. Always. Why? It's written right here in the book. I had a lady that grabbed her husband by the ear or the nose and led him right out of this church. He didn't have what it took to stand up to her and say, "You're not going to tell me where we're going to go to church." She led him right out of this church. And you know where she went? She went to a church that has no standards. She said, "The pastor doesn't have any standards. His wife doesn't have any standards." She led him there. And this is what she said to me. She said, "I'm going there to change that church. I'll see how they are in a couple years." She's not going to change that church. Laymen aren't supposed to go fix up the standards in the church. Pastor and the pastoral staffs make sure the standards are kept high so people join can clean up their own lives. She didn't leave in the will of God. It's not the will of God that a woman leave a church to go to some other church to clean up the church. That's not the will of God. That's not how God leads. You say, "How do you know that?" That's what the Bible says. See, there are some things that will always be the will of God. Proper association, separation, and soul winning, and a red-hot, soul-winning, old-fashioned church. So, this thing of the will of God, first of all, some things are always will of God. Secondly, I think you're going to find that serving people has a big deal to do with the will of God. Young people, those of you young people who have not chosen, and I hope you'll let God lead you, but you young people that you've not gone out into life and you've not picked what the will of God in regard to your career, let me give you a little advice. Do something that helps people. Now, I am a firm believer in something. I worked at Bible college. I just flew out to California and spoke in a Bible college. And I teach in Bible college. And I've been associated with Bible colleges all my life. Somehow, a church can get a Bible college. And they get this idea that everybody in that church ought to quit everything they're doing and go join the Bible college. Now, I happen to believe there's a place for laymen in the church. I don't believe that every person here is called to fill a pulpit and become a pastor someday. I think the Bible teaches there are such things as deacons and laymen. Lay people, and I think we need good lay people. But you young people who have not found what God wants you to do with your life, let me give you a little recommendation. I really believe that God's will for the lives of young people is that they spend their lives helping people. I really believe that you're going to find that in the will of God for people. What are you talking about? Listen, if you're going to be a pastor, great. If you're going to be a missionary, great. I'm for that. You're going to be a pastor's wife, or you want to go be a Christian school teacher, young people, Brother Owens is all for that. But listen, if you don't feel like God is calling you into full-time service, do something that serves people then with your life. Do something. Hey, I think that you can still be a police officer, and that is a very dignified position in life to hold. Hey, I think a plumber serves people. I think a carpenter serves people. I think teachers serve people. I think a mailman serves people. I really believe that. I believe doctors and nurses help people. Listen, I'm very sorry, but I don't think that every single human being alive is going to go into the full-time ministry. Now, I believe this. I believe we're all to serve Him full-time. If you were to get up in the morning and serve Him 24 hours a day, whether you get a paycheck down at the church or not, but those that do not have the privilege of working on the church staff, every one of us ought to give our lives to serving people. You say, well, what are you getting at? I don't think God calls people to be movie stars. That's not serving people. Matter of fact, Hollywood is destroying people. I really don't think God calls women to be models to go show off their bodies. That's not serving people. I don't think God's calling you to be a professional football player. No. I think you ought to give your life to serving people. I think that's a part of the will of God. See, our problem is we are so self-centered, we want to do what we want to do instead of doing the will of God. You look in the Bible, God didn't call any models. God didn't call any professional football players. God didn't call professional entertainers. He called carpenters. He called craftsmen. He called the kind of people. He called doctors and lawyers. And He called people to serve people. So somehow, in the will of God, you're going to find the service of people. So there are some things that the will of God always includes. The right kind of church, soul winning, separation, proper associations. The serving of people is almost always, it is always the will of God that saved people serve people. Thirdly, to find the will of God tomorrow, you need to be in the will of God today. Now, folks, if you say, I want to be in the will of God tomorrow, then you've got to get in the will of God today. The only assurance that you'll have the good spiritual sense to make good decisions tomorrow is if you're making good decisions today. Listen, I was at the Maranatha Baptist Church of Winchester, Indiana. That's the church that I grew up in. Now, I did not arrive there until my mid-teenage years. But when I was at the Maranatha Baptist Church of Winchester, Indiana, as a teenager, I did what the will of God was for my life while I was there. I obeyed my mom and dad. I showed up for church. I tried to be moral and clean and decent, win souls to Christ, work on a bus route. Then God reached down and led me to go off to Bible college. The reason God was able to lead me to go to Bible college is because the days before Bible college, I was in the will of God. Because I was in the will of God serving as a teenager in my local church, when God led me to go to Bible college, I was easy to lead. You see, when you're not serving God today, it's hard for God to lead you in His will tomorrow. So, there I was, teenager, serving God in my church. God reached down and said, I want to train you some more. I'm calling you to preach. And I'm going to lead you off to Bible college. So I went to Bible college. When I got to Bible college, I did not lay around. I went to work. I started soul winning. I started building a bus route. I started winning people to Christ. I started bringing people into the church. I was bringing young married couples into the church. Then when it was time to graduate from Bible college, God said, you know what? You're doing exactly in Bible college what you should be doing in Bible college. I will lead you to the next step. And He could lead me to Bible college because when I was a teenager, I was doing the will of God at my home church. And so He led me from my home church as a teenager to Bible college. I got in the will of God at Bible college. Then He could lead me to the next step. Dr. Hiles called me and said, Jeff, I want to hire you. I want to hire you. I want you to become one of my assistant pastors. I said, what will my duties be? He said, I'm going to hire you to do what you've already been doing for 4 years. Isn't that amazing? He said, I want to hire you to go get a bunch of young couples and get them into the church and work with a bunch of teenagers. That's what I've been doing for 4 years anyway. He merely hired me to continue to do what I was already doing, and I took another step into the will of God. Had I not been in the will of God while I was in Bible college, I couldn't have stepped into the will of God in the ministry with Brother Hiles. Brother Hiles passed away. While Brother Hiles passed away, I was doing the will of God. I was loyal to my preacher. I was loyal to my church. I was soul winning. I was preaching the Word of God. And God came to me. He said, Jeff, I've got something for you. What is it, Lord? There's a church in West Virginia I want you to go to. What am I going to do there, Lord? Same thing you've been doing. You just stay in my will. And God transferred me here. Now you listen to me. I'm in God's will at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. And I think the fruit that we see in what God's doing here. I had people across the country that said, boy, when you made that move, we thought it was the dumbest move you've ever made. And all sorts of them have come back and said, we apologize. It's obvious God's hand is on that plate. And God had a reason for that. But I'll tell you something. I would not be in God's will today had I not been in God's will when I was on Brother Hiles' staff as an assistant pastor. I would not have been in God's will then had I not been in God's will while I was going through Bible college. But I would not have been in God's will while I was going through Bible college had I not been in God's will while I was serving as a teenager in my church. Now you listen to me. If you want to be in God's will tomorrow, get yourself right with God today. Today, 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 today. Well, I'm going to go out and build me a great big old church someday. Well, the proof's in the pudding, buddy. You show me how many people are you getting saved. You show me how many people you're walking down the aisle. You show me how many people are getting baptized. You show me how many people are joining the church. But until then, don't you go dreaming about the big things God's going to do with you tomorrow, because He's not using you today. You get in His will today. Today, today, today. And that will help you be in His will tomorrow. Tomorrow. I am in the will of God today because I tried to put myself in the center of God's will yesterday. Hey, if you want the will of God in your life, you need to pray and ask for the mind of Christ. Philippians 2:5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." You need to learn to think His way. You need to borrow His mind. I often pray, "God, control my thinking." Now, His mind and His word are in perfect unison. God, God's Spirit, and God's mind are not going to lead you contrary to God's word.
Right.
Now, if you want to know what He's thinking most of the time, you can just turn to the old black book and He'll tell you what He's thinking. Some of you need to be careful. You know, you say, "Oh, God in a miraculous way is leading me." No, you just have indigestion. Oh, you'd be amazed how many people use the weirdest things in the world. "I would never lead my family the way some people lead their families." "Oh, God's leading me. Oh, this. Oh, you've been watching too many TV preachers."
Yes, sir.
You want security in the will of God, you go to the Word of God, but you pray and ask God to control your mind. Now, I said this, there's some things that are always God's will. Secondly, serving people has something to do with God's will. Thirdly, to find the will of God tomorrow, you need to be in the will of God today. Then, you pray and ask God to control your mind. Then, I would recommend that you seek counsel from godly people. Now, not your peers. If you have godly parents, seek counsel from your parents. If you're in a church and you are where you have a youth pastor that loves the Lord, hey, you find people that are right smack dab in the center of God's will, and those are the kind of people that could help you find God's will. There's some of you, you'll counsel with a family member, doesn't even go to a good church. About your life? "Well, my mama said your mama don't even go to church. She's a member of a church. It's dead. They don't get anybody saved. There's no revival there." And you think that that person's going to lead you. I'm sorry, folks. You're going to be no more in the will of God than they are. If you have a godly husband, a man from the pastoral staff, listen, I'll just tell you what I did. I let my pastor guide me on major decisions about making God's will because I knew he was in God's will. And when it was time for me to go off to Bible college, I had a pastor by the name of Johnny Crawford. I went to him. I said, "Preacher, I need your help in deciding God's will." He said, "This is how you decide it." He said, "I believe this is God's will for your life." And I followed that advice. When I went to Hiles Anderson College, when it was time for me to go into the ministry, let me tell you what I did. I went in for a senior appointment with Dr. Jack Hiles. I was graduating from college. I did not work for him at that time. While in that appointment, I said to him, I said, "Pastor, I need to know what does God want for my life." He said, "I want to offer you a job." So he, as an employer, offered me a job as an employee. And I said to him after he offered me the job, I said, "Can I pray about it?" And so I left his office. I did not take the job immediately. Matter of fact, it took me 2 weeks to make the decision, but I'll tell you what I did. That was on a Saturday night that he offered me the job. That Sunday morning, I got in his counseling line. I went in and I said, "Brother Hiles, I need to ask you a question." I said, "I'm not coming to you as a prospective employee and a prospective employer. I'm now coming to you as a member of your church, and I need my pastor's advice." I said, "A man that I admire and respect very much has offered me a job, but I'm not really sure I ought to take it because I don't know if I should be an assistant pastor and a pastor. Now, how do I make that decision?" He said, "I'm glad you asked." And this is what he told me. Listen to this. He said, "Jeff," he said, "if you know that you're going to be an assistant pastor the rest of your life, don't take the job with me." He said, "because when you come into your prime, I will pass on." He said, "and so there's no way you could serve as my assistant pastor for the rest of your life." He said, "but Jeff, if you feel like you will pastor a church someday, if you'll give me 10 years of your life, I'll personally train you how to build," and he used the term, "a mega church, because you'll be coming into your prime at the time that I pass away." He said, "now, you have to decide and go to the pea patch, and you get alone with God." You know what I thought, Brother Mike? I thought when he called me in there and I asked him the question, do I become a pastor or assistant pastor, he'd immediately say, of course, you should come to work for me. That is not what he did. He gave me a level of wisdom and advice that I'd never heard before from any man, and thank God he was wise. And I, by the way, I'm not trying to insert myself into the will of God for your life. I'm telling you what I did. I went to my pastor because I knew he walked with God, and that helped me to get some insight into the wisdom that I needed to stay in the will of God for my life. And I've done that with everywhere. I did not just go in and tell my pastor what I was going to do. I did not go in and say, I want your permission. I went in and said, I want your blessing, and there was a difference. You know something? When I came here, I had the blessing of Dr. Jack Scott to come here. When I went to Bible college, I had the blessing of Johnny Crawford to go to Bible college. When I went to work for Brother Hiles, this is a weird turn of events, I had his blessing to go to work for him. Y'all okay? It's really quiet in here. The will of God. And listen to me. You want to find the will of God? You better make sure that you're surrendered in advance to it. Here's what a lot of you want to do. Oh God, tell me your will. I want to do your will. Then God hands it to you. You say, well, let me check this out now. Let's make sure this matches up with what I want. God knows. The reason why some of you do not know the will of God, because He knows you'll reject it if He gives it to you. He knows way down deep in your heart, my friend. He knows. He knows if you are truly surrendered to His will. He knows that. You can play your little religious game with God all you want, but He knows down deep inside you if He told you exactly what He wanted of you, whether you would do it or not. See, He is God. He is the God of the universe. He's all-knowing. It's easier to get the will of God out of God if He thinks that you'll actually do it once He gives it to you. But so many will reject it. They'll grab it and say, well, I better check this out. Better make sure that, you know, me and you are on the same page here. Better make sure it's what I want. Better make sure I'm willing to sacrifice and do whatever you want. So you give me the will of God, I'll examine it. I'll get back with you, buddy, as whether or not I'll do it. That's why some of you don't know the will of God. You don't want to know the will of God. You don't want to do the will of God. But if you want to do the will of God and God knew down in your heart your will was gone completely and you would do anything He wanted, He's more apt to give it to you. Do you see why He might hesitate? God owes you no explanation. You owe Him all obedience. Many reject His will because it does not fit their will. And He already knows they're not in that much submission. You say, how does He know that? Well, are you in submission today? Because if He's got a will for your tomorrow, and you're not going to submit to tomorrow any more than what you're willing to submit today. It's called the will of God. The will of God. Once you find the will of God, don't let anything sidetrack you. You just do the will of God. You do the will of God. Hey, if you're not saved here today, let me tell you the will of God for you. Get saved. When? Today. If you're not right with God today, let me tell you the will of God. Get right with God today. If you've been saved and never baptized, let me tell you what the will of God for you today is. Get baptized after your salvation. People who put off the will of God are usually trying to figure out a way to justify not doing it. Think, well, you know, if I drag my feet long enough on the will of God, maybe He'll forget. Nah, I don't think that's going to happen. Once you find the will of God, do it. If you're not saved, get saved. If you've not been baptized after you got saved, get baptized. If you're not joined the church, you need to get your membership transferred. Do it. Do it. Hey, some of you, you're just sitting on something you know you're supposed to do. You won't do it. And you've got yourself confused. Why should God reveal more of His will when the last thing He revealed, you're not doing it yet? The will of God. He said, on earth as it is in heaven. I want some of you, when you get to heaven, heaven is going to be so difficult, in a sense. You say, why? You have to really do some adjusting. You know what I'd like? I'd like for you not to miss a lick when you walk into heaven. I would like, when we go to the first, look, when we go to the very first great big church meeting in the sky, I hope all of us are there just singing our hearts out and smiling and having a good time. There's going to be a bunch of those sour dill pickle Christians up there going, "What is this?" I believe Jesus is going to say, "Brother Nash, come on up here and lead us in a song. Let's have some preaching now. Let's have a good time up here." There are some that are going to go, "Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church was right." They're not going to know how to respond. I don't want you to miss a lick. I want you to be so used to being in the will of God when you step into heaven, it'll be in heaven as it was on earth. But He's saying on earth is to be like it will be in heaven. I want the will of God for your life. It's a very peaceful, rewarding way to live. I want that for you. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. If you're not saved today, we'll welcome you to the Savior. I believe God's spoken to lives and to hearts here. If you need this altar, some of you may... You know, I believe probably the biggest decision need to be made by some people in this auditorium is you need to lose your own will. Some of you trust yourself more than you trust God, and that is a sin against your God. How could you trust yourself more than you trust God? It's time for some of you to live by faith and do what God wants you to do. Quit questioning the Bible. There are things that need to change in your life. You know they need to change. You're not doing a thing about it. In a second, we'll have an altar call. I'll ask the pianist to begin to play. We'll stand to our feet. The choir will sing. The men on the platform will take their places as always. If you need this altar, you come and use it. We'll be dismissed and we'll go home. It won't take long. I'll ask the instrumentalists to play. Let's stand to our feet. Choir, a song of invitation, if you will. The will of God for your life is not the will of your friend. The will of God for your life is not your will. The will of God for your life is not your parents' will, now that you're a grown, mature adult. The will of God for your life is not your boss's will. Some of you, your boss will transfer you all over the world and destroy your marriage and destroy your family. They're not interested in the will of God for your life. They are interested in their will for your life. Very dangerous to let some boss that does not love you choose the will of God for your life. The will of God for your life is not your public school's will for your life, or your guidance counselor's will for your life, or your boyfriend's will for your life. Hey, any of you have a boyfriend that would do anything to keep you out of the will of God, I'd dump him. If you have a girlfriend that would do anything to keep you out of the will of God for your life, I'd dump her. You get somebody that's in the will of God. If you are dating, if you're engaged, and the person you're with is not in the will of God, you're dealing with fire. Oh, that'll destroy you. You're better off single than marrying somebody that doesn't want to be in the will of God. Don't you follow money to make the decisions of your life. Not always the convenient way. Say, "Oh, it'll be so much harder if I do what I think the will of God is." Well, maybe. I do not necessarily think that the will of God for the life of Jesus Christ is real simple. Look at everything that he's been through. 99% of the time, the will of God will be decided by the Word of God, led by the Spirit of God. Better watch out for those little extra leadings. Oh, there are times that God leads us through circumstances. But you better be right smack dab in the center of God's will on everything else before you dare let a circumstance lead you. Get everything all lined up with the Word of God that God could trust you to be led by a circumstance. Do the will of God. Be in the will of God. You parents, remember something. You better remember that your youngins are little. You're deciding the will of God. You're deciding the will of God. This is the last time through the song. We'll have a seat, bring the names, and we'll go home.
Yes.